come as your people, and we bow before you in reverence and awe of who you are, Jesus. We could keep saying that word all day long, all week long, 24/7, and still not capture your worthiness. You are beautiful beyond our comprehension. You are gracious beyond our thoughts, God. Oh, Lord, how high, how wide. Let us be able to take in and understand and know the depth, the width, and the height of your love, God, because we can't take it in as humans. We can't receive it on our own. So, Lord, that would you give us the capacity in our hearts to receive your grace and love. And God, for the person in here this morning, God, that feels unloved, that feels discouraged, that feels hurt, that's maybe even been hurt by your church experiences or relationships, God, I pray in Jesus' name that you would touch that person or each person, God, with the power of your love. And let them be able to take it in, Lord, and heal the very depths of their heart and soul today. God, for the one that's wondering, have I sinned too much? Would you relieve that guilt and shame as you run to them and embrace them in your arms, just as the Father did to his prodigal son? You run to us. While we're running away from you, you chase us down. You tackle us and wrap your arms of holy love around us. And we thank you for that, Jesus. And we thank you for the gift of your word. And would you speak to us through your word today? Would you wrap your arms around us with your holy word and move me aside, move us aside as listeners, and only let the truth of your scripture permeate our hearts and grow us spiritually, physically, mentally, and emotionally. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Amen. You may be seated as the children are dismissed, and we continue in a heart of worship as we come to the book of Exodus chapter 16 today, and we're going to be looking at verses 22 to 36, Exodus chapter 16, and we're going to talk about the necessity of the Sabbath. The necessity of the Sabbath. And at some point in your life, you probably felt like one of these two guys on the screen, where things in life get overwhelming, or you feel like your batteries are just running out. And we have come into this passage where God has given the bread or the manna from heaven, and we think, well, it's not just about the bread. God gave manna from heaven to teach about something that he has designed since he created the world, and that is the need for rest. That is the need for Sabbath. And so, God, I ask that you'd move in these scriptures today. So the people of Israel here were on a journey. Now think about this, from slavery to freedom. A journey from relying on the evil Pharaoh for the little morsels of bread that he might give them as slaves, and relying on the true merciful God as bread. As they journey through the wilderness, God is now teaching them something very different from the hard labor of slavery. So you got to understand in that context, they were working as slaves down to running their knuckles down to the bone and building those pyramids. And God says, I will be your Lord. Pharaoh is not your Lord. And he handles things very differently than Pharaoh. He says, I'm going to give you a day of rest. The Lord gave them a Sabbath. It's a day from there to rest and ponder and enjoy the very mercy of God. And they were understanding that at this point after being slaves for all those years. God says, I'm going to give you a day of rest. What a merciful God. How different from the slave-driving Pharaoh. See, God designs the universe with rhythms of rest. The Sabbath is for us as humans. And how different is that from the world system that we see today? The Lord created the universe in 6 days, and he rested on the seventh. God gave the Israelites many Sabbaths. If you look through the scripture, they had the yearly Sabbath every 7 years to rest the land. And so if you're a farmer, you understand, and even growing up, I understood my grandfather had farmland, and the government would give him a certain amount of money to let the land rest for a year, or they would plant soybeans or different crops, the legumes in the ground, so that replenishes the soil. The Israelites understood that. If we're going to have bountiful crops, God says, I've created a rhythm. The land even has to rest. And so every 100 years, they would have the Sabbath, the year of Jubilee, where all their family debts were canceled and the land was restored to families that were forced to lose their land through hardship. So you can imagine somebody that becomes a widow and they can't keep up the farm and they lose that family land that God had given them. And every 100 years, they'd get it restored back. That's rest. That's the power of the gospel as we look at this text. And so before we get into it, I want to give us an idea of what the Sabbath is. If you look in verse 22, it says they gathered on the sixth day, they gathered twice as much bread, 2 omers each. And an omer is about 2 quarts or 2 liters. And when all the leaders of the congregation came and told Moses, he said to them, "This is what the Lord has commanded. Tomorrow is a day of solemn rest, a holy Sabbath to the Lord. Bake what you will bake and boil what you will boil, and all that is left over lay aside to be kept till morning." So what was he saying there? He given 2 words. He gives the word solemn rest, which is basically a holiday or a Sabbath or a rest. And it comes from the root word, which means to desist from exertion. Cease and desist. It is to cease in the way of celebration, to lay the regular things aside on the planet and rest, focusing on the mercy that we have a generous God who is not like the slave-driving Pharaoh or not like the slave-driving evil one who we have our sin nature. It says it's to be holy. The Sabbath is literally in the Hebrew an intermission. If you go to a play or a theater type of a thing, they have part one and part two. They give you a break to go to the bathroom in between to get whatever refreshments, and that's an intermission. God says, I understand you as humans. This is how I'm creating the universe. You have to have an intermission. And in that intermission, you have to be recharged spiritually, physically, and emotionally. And so it is holy. It's a sacred thing to the Lord. It's dedicated. And it comes from the root word to be clean, free from any defilement or purity. He says, make sure you consecrate this to the Lord. So what is the Sabbath? It is a regular time that is specially and reverentially set aside, consecrated, and dedicated to God. So it's not just going to bed at night, but that is one of the rhythms that God has created us. He created day and night, so at night we're supposed to get sleep. And if we don't get sleep, we get angry. Now, we have a word when we don't eat called hangry. We should come up with a word for sleeplessness. I don't know what it would be, but God requires that we get true physical rest. So this is a time that's dedicated to God. So it's not just, okay, I'm just going to do whatever I want to do. It is time set aside for God, and it could be recreation, but it also is keeping in mind the mercy of God, the lordship of God. It's regular time. It's a gift from God set aside for humans to cease from the regular work to rest our bodies, minds, wills, and emotions. So what is the American mantra? It's work and work and work and work and work until you put 80 hours a week in and you don't take time for rest. I don't have time for rest. I don't have time to do this. But God said, I'm giving you a gift. If you would receive it and live in it and walk in it, you'll be blessed. This rest occurs through intentional, reverential connection with God. It's by us as believers participating in regular public worship. So that's why we're gathered here today, to say I'm honoring the Sabbath. I'm meeting together with people. And it's not about a time whether the Sabbath is today or Saturday or next week, but it is about setting aside a time to meet with others for public worship, but also for rest and recreation. It is a regular time where the believer has the merciful privilege to rest and be renewed and celebrate and healing and freedom that God gives. It is a regular time for freedom. So when you come to church, this is, you got to think about it in that mindset. I'm coming to meet with Jesus Christ, the one who set me free. That's why communion is so important. It is so important to experience that celebration. It is a special rhythm that God has given the human to recharge the batteries of life, and it keeps the believer from burning out and straying from intimacy with Jesus Christ. It keeps us from becoming hard and stubborn hearts. And every time we meet, whether it's Sunday or Wednesday or Bible study or something like that, we come together, it refuels. So we all carry these things around, right? And so heaven forbid if that thing gets down to 1%, right? We are vigilant about our phone cords, because we understand that the batteries go dead. And that is the essence and the rhythm of life. You know, our spiritual batteries go dead unless we take time to rest and come and worship the Lord. Our batteries go dead. We become mentally messed up. We become spiritually messed up. We become, our emotions become and go all over the place, all over the map, unless we truly take time to rest in the presence of God. So if we had to summarize the Sabbath in three words, these three words, it would be worship, mercy, and rest. You see, God tells them in Ezekiel 20, he gives further commentary on this. He says, I led them out of the land of Egypt and brought them into the wilderness. I gave them my statutes and made them known to my rule, and made known to them my rules, by which if a person does them, he shall live. Moreover, I gave them my Sabbaths as a sign between me and them, that they might know that I am the Lord who sanctifies them. What other way are we going to know who God is, the living Word, if we take time to rest and honor that day to give to the Lord? And it is a sign. He says, I want you to remember. I want you to get together and remember that I'm the one that's changing your life. I'm the one that's helping you spiritually grow. So we have an acronym we're going to look at today. There's four things from this text spelling out rest. Now, I want you all to just take a deep breath right now. Breathe in. Let's take an air in and just breathing it out heavily, in case you didn't know. Don't cough. Try not to cough. Rest. There's nothing greater than finding peace and rest. And so we're going to talk about rearranging for the Sabbath. In other words, prioritize planning so that we get rest. We're going to look at the essence of the Sabbath, which Steve talked about a little bit today. The Word made flesh, Jesus Christ, the Lord of the Sabbath. We're going to talk about the serenity in the Sabbath, which that is true rest for us as humans. It's a gift from God. And then we're last of all going to close with treasuring the Sabbath. So I want to talk about this rearranging thing, because we see that in verse 22. Now, he was raining bread from heaven. And remember what happened when they gathered more than they were supposed to gather? The bread would rot. But on this day, God did a miracle where they would collect a double portion. Instead of the two quarts, they would have four quarts. So enough for 2 days for meals. So you had your meal on the day before the Sabbath, and then you had your meal already ready to go on the next day. And he gives them specific instructions. And the reason why is that we prioritize planning in our life. That means planning a schedule ahead that reflects our priorities as believers. And so we can say, and I don't need to tell you, I'll just quickly go through, but the order of importance in our walks with Jesus Christ is obviously Christ comes first in planning our schedule. Now, that includes private devotions and our public worship. That's the priority for believers. You see, the believers had everything in common in the book of Acts, and they met every day. They said, this Jesus that changed my life is so important, it's going to be the top of my list. And then, of course, family. And notice I put family before church ministry, and sometimes they overlap and that sort of thing. But I know we can possibly become so busy serving in the church and involved in different things that we lose sight of our families. And then comes work and school. We have to work. God called us to labor, to work, to do our best for the glory of God in whatever field that He's placed us in. And then, of course, we have those other activities and endeavors in our life. So getting the proper balance in our life between labor and rest. You know, so the Sabbath has to be planned for. If you don't plan for it, you won't do it. So that means taking time ahead of time to plan to worship God. That's first and foremost and basic. But I want to talk to you about your vacations as well. And some people are on vacation this week. And every year we take July as a sabbatical. So all of our Sunday school teachers and preschool teachers can take a break. We've decided as a church the month of July is our month for the teachers to rest, the sabbatical. And so we plan ahead for that. You know, if you really want to do something, you'll plan it out. When I was first dating Tanya and we first met, and if I had a date planned, there would be nothing that could get in the way of that. We as humans do what we want to do. So I plan ahead. I rearrange my schedule. She calls, and oh, I'm driving all the way to Charleston where she was working at the Union Mission. I hate driving to Charleston, but I didn't hate it then. It's planning ahead. See, true labor includes laboring for physical needs. In other words, that's working a job, and we all have to do that. It includes laboring for soul needs, which is prayer and Bible study and ministry. And I don't know if you know, if you're an intercessor, a prayer warrior, it's hard labor to pray sometimes. And when we get into our Bible study, sometimes it's not just resting in God's presence. Like, we're really digging deep in. The Bible says to study to show yourself. So labor includes that. But rest also includes rest for the soul, like we're doing today, public worship and our personal time we spend with God. And that's a little bit different than digging into deep Bible study, I would say. But I will also say we got to be careful not to put that too much in categories, because the Word of God gives life and rest no matter whether you're studying it or you're sitting in God's presence with it. It includes rest for the body. So we have to rest our bodies. We have to rest our mind and emotions. So why do people have trouble keeping their commitments? Now, I want you to think about this one thing. It seems the norm today, and I've done it, and we've all done it, it's part of our American culture, is to fly by the seat of our pants, acting on whatever whim we might feel at any given moment. Oh, I just feel like going to church today and getting involved in this ministry. Oh, well, maybe I just feel like going on vacation now. Well, shoot, I don't have time. I have to work that day. You know, so instead, value the Sabbath and place meeting together in church worship by planning ahead, placing a priority on it. Plan out your vacations and regular times of rest ahead of time. God created humans to need one day of rest for rejuvenation each day. And that goes against our culture. One day for the Lord. Just like you have to sleep every night to rejuvenate your body, you need to take a day every week. And I know that's going to be very tough for us as Americans to swallow, but there is great blessing in it. And they've done a lot of studies too. Those that are well rested actually get more work done during the week and are more productive. And so when you take time to fill yourself spiritually, and if your workplace has given you vacations, as far as you're able, you take advantage of all those days. Take advantage of all those sick days. I encourage you to do that. And that's not being lazy. That's a gift from God to you. Take that time with your family. Go see something of God's creation that you haven't seen before. Make provisions ahead of time to do so. And it means having boundaries. I remember when you say, well, you don't understand, you're a pastor, but I do remember working at Menards. That was one of my jobs in the early days when they were first coming out in Michigan. And I said, can't be there on Sunday, can't be there on Wednesday. And they tried. I said, no, sorry, can't do it. And they ended up respecting that. And I understand that we're living in volatile times, and it may not be that simple for all of us in the job market that we're dealing with today. But if you start right from the beginning, setting out those boundaries and priorities, it's a whole lot easier. So rearranging for Sabbath, and then we're going to look at the essence of the Sabbath as we read in the next part of the text. He says it's going to be a holy day unto the Lord. Bake what you bake and do now. The essence of the Sabbath is Jesus Christ is the Lord of the Sabbath. And so as we unpack that, the Sabbath is about aligning our everyday living with the supremacy of Jesus Christ. It produces a surrender in our heart. It's about aligning our hearts with the holiness of Jesus Christ. It produces a reverence for Him. The Sabbath is to be reverent. Have you ever thought about when you go and look in the mountains or whatever activity you like to do, if it's you're involved in recreation or if you're on the lake or somewhere like that, that's a holy moment. And have that reverence and bringing Christ into that. The Sabbath is fulfilled by entering into the permanent spiritual rest that Jesus provided on the cross. So when we talk about the word essence, it means as in its nature, it's the quality that makes the thing what it is. Jesus Christ makes the Sabbath, Sabbath. Why? Because when we enter in, when we have our sins forgiven, our souls are finally at rest. And at its core, it's the central part or something under the key consideration. So when we think about the essence of the Sabbath, Jesus Christ is the key consideration. So if you imagine if you were an owner of a company, as the owner of the company, you would have a master key to every room in that building. Now, other people, on the other hand, might have only a key for their office or a key for this specific room or that room. When we function without Jesus Christ, the Lord of the Sabbath, it's like we're trying to get in rooms that God wants us to go in, but we can't because we don't have the key. Jesus Christ is the key to rest. I can go and take a nap, or I can say, well, okay, we're going to take this day to rest, whether it's Saturday or Sunday, whatever day you choose during the week, whatever day you're off. But if Jesus Christ is not the key to that, you're kind of still spinning your tires. And as we found out later in the text, your bread will rot. He says to lay aside. That means to cast down, to place, to withdraw, to withhold. He says, lay aside, put something aside, plan ahead, and put Jesus first. Now, I'm not going to read the whole passage of scriptures here, but I just put them on the screen so, in case you're writing down notes. But Matthew chapter 12, Jesus is out gathering grain on the Sabbath. And for the Jew, they had all come up with all kinds of rules and they missed the essence of the Sabbath. So today, if you were to go to Israel and it's a Sabbath and you're staying in a hotel, they have one elevator for the Sabbath-keeping people and you don't want to get on that elevator. So if you're on the 30th floor, it automatically stops at every floor so that you don't have to push a button. So I'm going to get on the Gentile elevator that doesn't stop on every floor. So they were like, at this point, the Pharisees were like that. And they took grain and then Jesus ends up saying in verse 7, if you have known what this means, Start in verse 6. I tell you, someone greater than the temple is here. And if you'd not known what this means, I desire mercy and not sacrifice, you would have not condemned the guiltless. So what was Jesus saying? My disciples are guiltless for taking grain, because the Son of Man is the Lord of the Sabbath. The essence of the Sabbath is resting and being, having the soul assured that it's saved in Jesus Christ. Colossians 2 talks about, and Steve was referencing it in the John about the word today. He says, don't let anyone question you in regards to food or drink or a festival or new moon or a Sabbath. Well, the Sabbath's on Saturday, or the Sabbath's on Sunday, or we meet on Wednesday night for Bible study, or we meet on this. It's not about that. It says these are a shadow of the things to come, but the substance is in Jesus Christ. He is the Lord of the Sabbath. And then, of course, in Hebrews, it gives a running commentary and talks about the Israelites hardening their hearts. And he talks about it in the context of entering into spiritual rest. In verse 14, he says, we've come to share in Christ if we indeed hold our original confidence firm to the end. And then he talks about, so then there remains a rest in Hebrews 4:9. A Sabbath rest for the people of God. For whoever has entered God's rest has also rested from his works as God did from him. Let us therefore strive to enter that rest so that we may not fall by the same sort of disobedience. So the children of Israel said, God said, I'm going to bring you into the promised land. But what did they do? They dishonored the Sabbath. They didn't follow God's commands. They got left in the wilderness. And so he's saying Jesus Christ has come and offered us spiritual rest, which is the essence of the Sabbath. And I love these words of Jesus, and I would encourage you to take these home and meditate on these. In Matthew 11, he says, come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Not only physical rest, but soul rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly and heart. That is the very opposite of our sin nature, isn't it? It's the very opposite of Pharaoh, the slave driver. And you'll find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. So we have rearranging for the Sabbath, R, E, essence of the Sabbath, S, the serenity of the Sabbath, the fact that rest is for humans. Let's read from verse 24 on down. In Exodus 16, it says, so they laid it aside until the morning, as Moses commanded them, and it did not stink. And there were no worms in it. Moses said, eat it today, for today is a Sabbath to the Lord. Today you will not find it in the field. 6 days you shall gather it, but on the seventh day, which is a Sabbath, there will be none. On the seventh day, some of the people went out to gather, but they found none. And the Lord said to Moses, how long will you refuse to keep my commandments? See, the Lord, notice past tense, has given you the Sabbath. Wait a minute. Isn't this the first time he introduces it? Do you remember Genesis? God created the world, and on the seventh day he rested. They already had the concept of Sabbath. He says, the Lord has given you the Sabbath. Therefore, on the sixth day, he gives you bread for 2 days. Remain each of you in his place. Let no one go out of his place on the seventh day. So the people rested on that day. So when we look at this serenity, this Sabbath to the Lord is a gift from God. And when we use that word serenity, it means a state of utter calm and unruffled repose or quietness. Now think about that for a moment. You've just been everywhere. Maybe on the way to church, you're whatever. Maybe some of you have experienced kids screaming in the car, fighting in the back seat, wherever you're at. Or maybe the coffee maker didn't work this morning, or you tripped over the rug in the bathroom trying to get ready for church, or you couldn't find the clothes that you were going to wear, and all that stuff, and all the things that were on your mind from work this week. It's so nice to come and be able to experience this serenity. God gave it to us as a gift, that we have to open it and dwell in it. You have to choose to live in it. You know, it's kind of like in football. Is there any football fans in here? No? Maybe one, two. Don't be shy. It's one of the gifts from God to enjoy football. What does the quarterback do? I mean, he is constantly in danger and under stress while he has that ball. They kick it off to him, and he's getting... But as soon as he passes that ball away to somebody, he can rest. Because those people that were trying to tackle and push their way through and knock him down are not after him anymore. And that's the thing that God has called us to do. It's time... When he says it's Sabbath time, when it's time to take rest, pass the ball on to Jesus. He says, my yoke is easy, my burden is light, and you can find rest for your souls. No longer are you going to be tackled. You can experience peace. You won't be touched with the lies that, well, you messed up today, you're going to go to hell, because you know that Jesus Christ has redeemed you and set you free. You know that when you die, you're going to go to heaven, even if you messed things up yesterday. You came and confessed your sins to Jesus, and you move on in that rest. Now notice there, he says, the importance of taking this rest, the Sabbath rest, it was for the purpose of ceasing from regular labors of life to get rest for our souls and bodies. So whatever rigmarole routine that you're in life, it is to stop it all and to do something completely different. I would say those that come to weekly church meetings with a mindset, I'm going to enjoy Jesus, I'm going to get rest, we'll find mental health benefits that is beyond belief, whereas those that continue to do their work in their regular routine and don't stop, they miss out on this gift from God. You know, even an unbeliever can experience the benefits of this Sabbath. See, the heart of the Sabbath is for true rest and healing. And that word stink, you know, when we don't take time to take part and receive this serenity, the things that we do will begin to smell bad. And notice how the children of Israel, God told them, take an extra, prepare ahead of time, because there's not going to be manna raining down from heaven this week or this day. And so what do? On the seventh day, some of the people, maybe not the sharpest tools in the drawer, which would be me, went out looking for bread. And they found none. And then God says, how long? How long? You know, the interesting thing about that word stink is it literally means morally offensive or abhorred. And in Isaiah, it does say in the scripture, it says, there is no rest for the wicked. We think that's a phrase we use. In other words, it says there's no peace for the wicked. And so that is that stink. And then he uses the word worm, which means a maggot. But this reminded me of a passage of scripture in Acts chapter 12. There was a king by the name of Herod who, it says, the people started shouting and saying, the voice of a God and not of a man. Immediately, an angel of the Lord struck him down because he did not give God the glory. He was eaten by worms and breathed his last, but the word of God increased and multiplied. What is he saying here? Why did God do that in the New Testament? I believe fully and firmly that it was a reference to this. Because the Sabbath, if we refuse to honor the Sabbath, we are basically lifting ourselves up in pride and saying, God, you are not the Lord of the Sabbath. I do not need you to be supreme in my life. And the things in our life will be eaten by worms. And that's the thing of pride that happens. He says, remain, which means to sit down. And if I were to ask you to stand during this whole preaching time and say, I promise you in 5 minutes you can sit down, and then I don't, and you're starting to do the little trot or something like that, and you really want to sit down, but it feels good if you're standing in line somewhere very long to finally, or when you finally get home and get in your recliner and you plop your hind end down, it's like, oh, you take a breath. Finally home. That's what he says when he says, remain in your home. In other words, take a seat for a day. Take a rest. And ironically, that word, his place, did you notice that there? He says, remain each of you in his place. And I looked that up and I was pretty astounded by the root of that word, his place. Because remember, we're talking about the Sabbath as Jesus Christ being the Lord, supreme Lord of the Sabbath. That place is from an unused root meaning to depress or to be humble. What is God saying with the Sabbath? He said, stop, be humble, recognize God is God, and rest. Decease from your moving. You know, in that scripture I read about the grain field, Mark gives another line that's very important for us to understand. He adds to that, and when you read the Gospels, it's not that they're contradicting, it's just that they write down certain facts, so you piece them together, and then you come up with all that Jesus had said that's important that God wanted us to have. So he says the Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. What were they trying to do? They were eating, they were hungry, they were taking grain stalks, and the Pharisees said, you're not supposed to do that. And Jesus called them out on it. The Sabbath was made for you. It's not about a restriction, or it's not about a this rule, so to speak, that just holds me back and brings more stress in my life. It's an invitation for rest. It's for God to be able to move in our lives. There's interesting, another text of scripture, when a man comes to Jesus with a withered hand and he heals him on the Sabbath. And they really come after him. And he says, I ask you, is it lawful on the Sabbath to do good or do harm, to save life or destroy it? Sabbath is supposed to be a day of life-giving. Now, I remember reading those old books at the beginning times of America when you had, I can't remember if it was Little House on the Prairie books or all those books I read as a kid. And on the Sabbath, on the Lord's Day, you were to just sit and not speak. You could maybe look through the catalog that came in the mail, and that's it. That's not what God meant at all. It's to do good, to save life. And then we know the person that comes to Jesus that had an evil spirit, and he casts that spirit out and delivers this woman. And he says, and ought not this woman, a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan bound for 18 years, be loosed from this bond on the Sabbath day? It is a day of freedom in Jesus Christ. And so last of all, as we come today, treasuring the Sabbath is the rhythm of life. As we read verses 31 to 36 now, he says, now the house of Israel called its name manna. It was like coriander seed, white, and the taste of it was like wafers made with honey. Moses said, this is what the Lord has commanded. Let an omer of it be kept throughout your generation, so that they may see the bread with which I fed you in the wilderness when I brought you out of the land of Egypt. And Moses said to Aaron, take a jar, put an omer of manna, or 2 liters, in it, and place it before the Lord to be kept throughout your generations. As the Lord commanded Moses, so Aaron placed it before the testimony to be kept. The people of Israel ate the manna 40 years till they came to the habitable land. They ate the manna till they came to the border of the land of Canaan. An omer is the tenth part of an ephah. An ephah, which is 3/5 of a bushel, or 22 liters. So think about this. God says, get a jar, and he uses that word kept. You notice back in verse 23, they kept it till morning. in verse 32, kept. Verse 33, kept. Verse 34, kept. God was saying, the Sabbath is to be treasured. It's very important. It is God's creative design, and it's not going to change. You say, well, Jesus fulfills the Sabbath. You're right, he does, and we enter into permanent rest. And what did the early church do when they entered into that rest? They met every day to worship God so that they can keep following him. Because it was about Jesus now. It was about rest in the kingdom of God. It was about knowing that when I die, I'm going to live with him forever. With all the diseases and sicknesses that I'm experiencing now on this earth and the troubles, to know one day that's all going to go away and I will find my eternal rest in Jesus Christ. It's not going to change. Just because Jesus Christ came and you still have to sleep at night. And you still have to take a day set aside as holy for the Lord. And really, it's not have to. It's a want to thing. If you've been working a long week and someone says, I'm going to give you an all expense paid trip this weekend to go name your favorite spot in your mind. Would you say, oh, I have to do that? The funny thing about that is that we've been so brainwashed as a culture that some of us might say, oh, I have to do that. I need to get that job done this week. My boss wanted me to stay and do overtime and all that sort of thing. You know the Ark of the Covenant that was in the temple, which one day I believe they're going to find it. I believe that pot of manna is still there and it's still good. Because God says it's to be kept for all the generations, so you know that I am the Lord of the Sabbath. The Sabbath points to creation and the Creator, that it should be memorialized, to be kept, to be guarded with our life, to be observed. Hebrews 10 says, hold fast. But in verse 25, he says, don't neglect to meet together. It's like a fire. Spiritually, if you want to grow spiritually in your walk with God, if you're really hungry for the Lord, your fire might go out if you pull your coal away from the rest of the fire. But look around in here. There's all kinds of coals. That's why we come together, and your fire burns brighter and hotter, and you'll find rest for your soul when we come together to worship God. Acts 2, day by day, they attended the temple together. Rest. Walter Brueggemann, who was a Bible scholar, says the Sabbath means that there's enough bread that we don't have to hustle every day of our lives. There's no record that Pharaoh ever took a day off. In all of Egyptian history and archaeology, you never found that he did that. There's no record that Pharaoh took a day. People who think their lives consist of struggling to get more and more can never slow down because they won't ever have enough. You can never do enough work. So God says, I've created you with a rhythm. Just like your phone battery needs to be plugged in, you have to be plugged in on a regular basis. I need to be plugged in. And this verse is a promise. Remember that verse I quoted as from Isaiah 48:22. It says, there is no peace, says the Lord, for the wicked. But he says in verse 13, if you turn back your foot from the Sabbath, from doing your pleasure on my holy day, and call the Sabbath a delight and a holy day of the Lord honorable, if you honor it, not going your own ways or seeking your own pleasure or talking idly, then you shall take delight in the Lord and will make you ride on the heights of the earth. I will feed you with the heritage of Jacob, your father, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken. What a promise. So I want to encourage you to plan for your Sabbath. That means our regular meetings for worship, but it also means your vacation, your time with your family. Rearrange. Plan, if you have to, a year ahead. For what's going to happen. The essence of the Sabbath is all about Jesus. The serenity of the Sabbath is that it is a gift from God to us. And it is the rhythm of life, and we ought to treasure it and honor it for the rest of our lives. I'd like to invite our worship team to come. So God has given us the opportunity to go from this guy to being in a place of total rest. I learned this years ago. And I used to partake in ministry in a way that was just do and do and do and do and do and do and do. And I burn out. It was about 14 years ago. I couldn't even move or speak. I didn't even know. I was shaking. And about that time, after that, I read a book about rest and things like that, and the need for sabbatical, the need. So our church established a pattern of every 7 years. But you ought to do that for yourself. Make sure you take time to stop, to rejuvenate the soul, to live life. When Jesus said, I want you to live life to the abundance, this is part of what he's talking about. It's the regular rhythm of creation. Father God, I thank you for what you've gifted us with and what you've given us in rest. And I pray that you would show each of us in here how you would have us to do it, because it's going to be different for all of us. Lord, I pray that none of us would sit in judgment of one another of how we take our rest or how we do our Sabbath or only you understand what's going on in our lives and even in our work situations. But God, you've given us this directive in your word, and we trust in you. And I pray that you'd help our unbelief and give us faith to trust your promise that if we take this step, even though it might seem counterproductive or even though it might seem we have consequences in life, Lord, we know that you promised that the benefits will far outweigh any of that as we enter into the rhythm and the way that you created us. Thank you, Jesus, for being our gentle Savior, that we can crawl in your lap and experience you in this way. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. If you'll stand with us.